Speaking of reliability, friends talking about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Adam Barrett.
Hey, Adam. Hey, have you ever, when you were in school, back in grade school, you know, way back when you were a wee lad, you know, traipsing off down the sidewalk to school, did the dog ever eat your homework?
I reported that multiple times, but nobody could prove it. So
nobody could prove it. You didn't bring the dog with shreds of paper in his mouth. You
know? No. Which is one of the great things about it. It's hard to prove.
Yeah.
How about you? Have you had any recent events that could?
You knew where I was going with that.
I know where this is going.
Yeah. Last week. Last week. On the weekend, I pretty much stayed off the computer. I had a bunch of gardening stuff to do. And on a Monday morning, I had a ton of stuff to catch up with. And I pull up my computer, and I can't get to my Google Drive. It says, we can't find it. And then I got an error message saying, 75 of your files in this in BoxSync are missing. We need help finding it. And Dropbox looked like it had about half of what it usually had. So... And then I started noticing other symptoms, like mail. If I deleted a message in mail, it said, oh, we can't find that folder. And it was like, what?
At this point, you're getting that feeling in your stomach and that, oh, no.
That's right. And so for 3 days, I was dealing with a hard disk problem or an operating system problem. I think it ended up being, when we finally got to the root cause of it, it was either a corrupt segment of the file system, the tables that tell it the computer where everything is, essentially, a piece or a section of that got corrupted somehow. And there's all kinds of ways it can get corrupted. The very first check was run a virus scan, right? Came up clean. Then it was, well, let's try rebooting. And this is a Mac, which surprised me, and I gave her a hard time. I said, what do you mean reboot? That's a Mac. That's a PC thing. We're on Mac.
Right.
And he goes, well, sometimes it cleans up all kinds of stuff, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right. And I said, you know, to be honest, I don't think I've rebooted in 6 months. And he goes, well, yeah, you need to do it at least once a year, whether you need it or not. I'm like, okay. After about 25 reboots, my wife was getting tired of the bong sound as it comes back up. And all kinds of different systems. It took 3 days, essentially, to recover the file system. And then everything just worked. The drives, all the external drives, everything worked once I remembered the passwords. And then for the rest of the week, I'm telling people, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a bit behind. I had a hard drive problem. And my wife and everybody else that I've told that to go, oh, okay. Anything I can do to help?
Instant empathy.
Yeah.
Instant empathy.
That's right. Can I send flowers?
Okay, exactly. Where can I send flowers? When's the service for the hard drive?
Yeah. No, and it was, I am so glad that I had backups.
Yeah.
You know, and you were talking about your systems are all up on the cloud. I mean, when's the last time you had your working documents and stuff on your drive only?
You know, do you know what's funny? I don't know if I can ever remember losing a hard drive. That's just luck, right? There's nothing different I'm doing than anybody else. I mean, I buy high quality stuff. I definitely minimize the risk. I've been Apple for a long time, which is...
We just turned off half our audience, you realize.
I know. The engineering community needs to catch up, guys. Come on. It's not the... You know, give me a break. It's the same people still doing Mill 217 or, you know... Like
well,
just,
yeah, we don't need them to listen anyway.
We just need to wait for them to retire. There's no way you're going to convince them otherwise.
Okay. Yeah, you buy good equipment, you know, drop it out of it. Well, you use case 7 a lot. You don't do that with your computer or hard drive, I take it.
I do not. Okay. I do not. I mean, that's my – isn't it funny? Like nowadays, that's your lifeline. Like I can't imagine if you – somehow if I lost my computer, all of them. I'm redundant in hardware too. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That'd be crippling, right? I'm running a business from that. It'd be unbelievable. But, yeah, so the way I – I've come to do it is I do let it do physical backup on an external hard drive just as like a triple check. I do put critical things I'm working on up in a Google Drive, and I do have the iCloud synchronous system, which effectively, in theory, removes hardware, because if I put a file on my desktop or in, you know, any of my main folders, it's instantly accessible on my other computers. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like the hardware doesn't matter. You know, I could literally throw out a computer and just pick up my other laptop and keep going.
Well, yeah, and that's what kept me in business last week, is my laptop had everything. It's just a pain when I'm used to a 27-inch screen and doing a bunch of editing, you know. And then I had a webinar on Tuesday. I did that on the laptop, and then I had to edit that. But I could pick up my other computer, and it had all the files. The file system was working and connected to our external drives just fine. But it's amazing. I remember the first time I saw Dropbox, I don't know, quite a while ago, and he said, "Oh, let me email that to you." And he pulled it up on his phone. We were talking and had the phones, and he pulled it up there, and it was on a Dropbox. And I says, "How do you have all these files on your phone?" And he goes, "Well, it's in a Dropbox. It's instantly shared across all of the devices I connect to it."
Right.
And I went, "Wow." And the wheels started clicking. That's like instantaneous backup. Now, the hard part is, like in iCloud, if you screw something up and don't catch it fast enough, now it's everywhere, right?
Yeah, which is why I do backups, my backups, right? I still have the Time Machine that's, you know, there, that backs up every so often. Mm-hmm. So it would be almost impossible for me to have a catastrophic loss of everything. I imagine something could happen where something I'm currently working on could get lost, but it's interesting. Right? So their strategy, I mean, here we are with something that's so valuable to us and the types of strategy we come to ensure reliability. It's interesting to see that with a lot of products. You know, what are the approaches? Is it redundancy? Is it simplicity? Or is it even just ease of maintenance or ease or better metrics of prognostics? You know, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Is the system giving you feedback, you know, that things are degrading? For instance, if your self-diagnostic system had been good enough with your hard drive to say, "Hey, I'm not Fred, I'm not feeling too good." Mm-hmm. Nothing's gone wrong yet, but I'm not feeling good.
That's right.
You know, there are actions you could have taken to minimize the impact of it just, you know, going on you the next week. Actually, I don't know. Would there be? Because the things you're describing were all of your programs, you know, and the pointers, they had the files that getting moved. Is there anything you would have done if your hard drive, if a fortune teller had told you next week your hard drive is going to go?
Well, I probably would have just gone and bought a new computer. So, you know, it's just rather than deal with trying to solve it, knowing what I know now that it took us a while to sort it out. I don't know.
But you still haven't done that, because when you fixed your hard drive, you're still using it right now. Like, so whatever happened could happen in an hour again.
Well, it could. Right? So the symptoms pointed to a corrupted bit of software or a table in the file system. Or one of the possibilities, it could be
so
a bad drive.
So it wasn't the hard drive. Yeah. I thought you were saying it was the hard drive. You're saying that it just some software got confused, and once you basically rewrote that table, it's fine.
The trouble is that you can't rewrite that except from scratch, right? So I'm not sure 100%. So I'm still kind of making sure the backups are working. I double checked everything, you know. It's an older machine. My desktop's, I think, 4 or 5 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the amazing things, and I called Apple and I, you know, reported that, "Hey, this iMac's having this issue. What do I do?" They did not ask for a serial number. They did not, they know my phone number, and they said, "Are you on your iMac?" And I go, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, let me put you in touch with with an agent, and let's try a few things." And about 10 minutes later, she said, "You know, this is beyond what I can deal with. Let me get you to a senior advisor." And I got to a senior advisor, and she gave me her number. She gave me her email. And she said, "I will stay with you until this is resolved."
Right.
And there's no way this computer is under warranty.
Right. I mean, because it's kind of interesting. Nowadays with technology, really they're competing on customer service. Isn't that kind of the funny thing?
Oh, yeah.
Like all the amazing features they have, you know, they kind of just become given across the board so fast. Like, nobody really gets that far out ahead of anybody else. You know, it's not like one company, like the, you know, Galaxy, you know,
well,
with the new Samsung.
They try
folding
with
phone.
The phone. They try, but
it's for months, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
So it really is interesting. You really are competing on customer service. And actually, it's funny you say that. I had an experience yesterday with Travelocity. That surprised me because, you know, there's a kind of like very fast and there's no face to the company kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get a breakdown, you know, just a better detailed receipt of breakdown of charges for expensing.
Right.
And the person was so helpful. And she said, I'm going to call you back tomorrow at this time to see if everything went OK, because our staff is going to break it down and send it to you or whatever the department. And
right.
I was like, this is travel. I was like, wow. But then when you think about it, I mean, I can go to a million sites and get plane tickets at that same price that they offered me, right? That's the only difference.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so I think part of – you're probably right. Is when it becomes more commoditized, then you're dealing on service. And true commodities like coal and soybeans and pig belly or pork bellies or whatever they're called, then it's on delivery, right? Can I get it at – the time I want, or can I get it in the quality level I want, or whatever it is. Yeah, you got to find other ways to make it work. For me, it's been these backup systems. It's just been, I counted the other day and I have my contact list, right? All the people's emails and phone numbers of folks I want to stay in touch with, probably backed up 27 ways.
Right. You know, right.
I am not typing that in again.
That would be, how would you even, you know, find these people? Like, yeah, if you lost it, it would take forever.
Yeah.
But actually, you know what's interesting, though, is we just basically listed another reliability factor for a company to a customer, and that's how you help them recover, right? So think about it from a reliability perspective. You're thinking, okay, computers can have hard drives go. There's no particular company that's outstanding compared to others. What's another factor? Will they help me fix it versus leaving me on my own? Especially as a consultant, right? We don't have an IT department, or, you know, we don't easily do.
Well, you're my IT department. I'll be yours.
Great.
Yeah, good luck with
like
that.
Like I said,
we don't have an IT department.
Yeah, people will empathize with us, but that's a, yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, so that's actually interesting too from your customer's perspective, because really that's what it is, right? To some degree, it's about confidence that you're going to finish your mission, whatever it is, right? That's the reliability kind of end goal. So to some degree, is that another level that's not technology-based but is, you know, interaction-based and problem-solving-based that matters a lot? And it does, right? Like the fact that I think you're impressed now that Max wasn't worried about qualifying you or finding a way to eliminate you from their support. They were just like, I'm going to get you to where you need to be. It's, you know what I mean? You know, as quick as possible. And to some degree, that has to do with the outcome you want from a reliable product.
Well, you know, at some point, and I think years and years ago, Dell was the differentiator on this. There was a study done by Garnett or somebody that does these industry studies that showed that if a customer, by and large, HP, Dell, and IBM all were making desktops and laptops, and they were equally seen as durable and reliable and all those factors. And but if a person had a failure, had some issue that they called customer support with, if they had a Dell and called Dell, they became a super user. They were super satisfied. Dell went over and above to make sure that you got it right. Whereas HP and IBM were quickly outsourcing and paying their agents the number of calls per hour and doing all the things to minimize the cost of call centers. And so later, HP figured out that if you actually reward people for actually solving the problem, they actually help people solve the problem versus getting them off the phone and get to the next call. And and then Dell eventually changed their model and kind of followed everybody else. But when I first became a consultant, I had a big HP laptop. And I thought, oh, this is cool. I got a nice machine. I got my employee discount before I left the company. All this cool stuff. And about 6 months later, half the screen went blank. So one of the drivers failed on the monitor, on the screen, and I had half a screen. And everything else was fine. And so I called HP and they said, well, we'll send you a box. You package up your laptop and send it to us. We'll review it and let you know what the fix is. And then we'll fix it with your permission. and then we'll mail it back to you. And I said, well, how long is this going to take? And he goes, oh, 7 to 12 days. I'm like, no.
Right.
No, we can't do that. And so I happened to know the director of quality at that division, because I'd only left there a short while before, and I called him up and explained that story to him, and he goes, well, I happen to have that model sitting right here. I'm going to take the hard drive out. I'll send you the case, and you put your hard drive in it and send me your case back, and we'll get it fixed and back to you. And I was up and running the next day. He FedExed it out to me. I was running. They fixed the old monitor on my machine, you know, and I was back up and running. And he said, but the only thing is you need to write this up and send me what you went through the first time and how unacceptable that is. Because he got it. He understood that people relied on machines. And this was, oh my, 15, almost 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it. He knew that these machines were no longer a luxury or something that, you know, this was people were depending on this hardware to work and be available for him. But he couldn't convince the rest of the organization that that was how you had to service it. So
that's interesting. So I wonder then, so his solution also did include a mechanical component, right? Being able to separate out the hard drive and send it to you. So I was kind of wondering then, for design for reliability, are we even suggesting to consider these interactions with customers and dealing, you know, with these types of problems in this manner in the design, right? So what if you intentionally made it so modular that you could just quickly send out the parts that keep them going or something, you know, while they send you back the things to be fixed, you know, to where there is zero downtime, right? To where, you know, they actually get the other part before they send you the one back. And that, you know, like that would be, that's kind of interesting, right? So what if we brought that really into the design for reliability strategy, just kind of consciously evaluating that, like, are there ways we can better support that kind of customer support?
Well, it's a trade-off, isn't it, though? You have more than one computer. And you have a software system that keeps your documents synced on both of them. And remember the ads for the Google Chromebook where they would destroy a Chromebook, they'd drop it off. I wish that they kept those videos online. I don't know where they are anymore, but they were brilliant. They used a stun gun to electrocute a laptop and it burst into flames. And you know, they put it on a railroad track and a locomotive drove over it. And then the tagline was, that's okay. Everything's in the cloud, and you get a new piece of hardware, you're up and running again. So maybe the strategy is that for guys like us, or, you know, you get two computers, and you just sync between the two of them, you keep them synced, and you do backups.
But basically, we're addressing the that's our solution mechanically, because there isn't.
But they get to sell two machines versus one, right? And then we got to keep two systems up to date, and we doubled the market for folks like us.
See, I have a hard time with that as being a real strategy, because you're leaving a vulnerability, because now somebody else comes out with the version that doesn't require that, and you turn to them. So in other words, right now I have multiple laptops. Laptops are hard. We're going to get limited because there's a hardware thing. I mean, you know, basically Google's addressed it with software and the cloud strategy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a physical interface part. But if somebody came up with a way where I didn't have to have – I have three laptops for work – I would be like, oh, wow, I'm impressed. I would pay a lot more for one laptop, right, than have the three. I'm not sure. I always kind of have a hard time with that kind of like strategizing to sell more when people, you know, bring it up, because
we're not a big part of the market, though.
So what are you saying? You're saying that they're making decisions with regard to how you handle unreliability of their product. They're making decisions that drive you towards buying multiple backups, you know, products.
You know, I don't think it's given a whole lot of thought at Apple, Dell, and Lenovo and those guys. They've got a mix of different clients and customers, right? And retail is a piece of it, and small businesses is a piece, and corporate buyers are a piece. And so it's always, like any design, right, Adam, it's going to be a compromise. What meets the needs of this range of different types of customers? And and competing with the competition. And so I think you touched on what is differentiating Apple and other organizations now versus 10, 15 years ago, where it was a better camera or a longer battery life. Now it's, we'll help you get back up and running, right? And I don't know that they're saying, all right, for the independents, we're going to create a super reliable, you know, robust system that just makes this work, because every independent has got a different set of requirements and needs. It's a difficult market to wrap your hands around, right? Whereas a corporate group, they're going to buy $10 million worth of stuff a quarter. And once you lock them into your ecosystem, then it's a repeat sale. So I think more tactical decisions are being made on how do we lock a client, a customer into being a repeat buyer. Not how do we get them up and running and backed up and stuff. I think that's a piece of it. The reliability piece is obviously a part of that equation, but I have no evidence that it's a deliberate, oh, they'll just buy two. I think that's how we solve it.
You know, it's actually, you know, I kind of just said there's no way around the laptop thing with the multiple, you know, having to have multiple ones. But actually, if you go to the Google model, you kind of have an infinite number of units available, because I can drop my, you know, I can drop my computer in the bathtub and I can just go to Best Buy at lunch and get another one and keep going. You know, I could be at a customer site and have my system just catch fire and be like, excuse me, guys, I'll be back in an hour. Look up the closest, you know, store I can buy it and be right back. And so almost, I guess they have done that in a way, really, where it's kind of interesting. I wonder if that will be the next big trend, you know, because if you think about it with like the iCloud, where my systems are all backed up across all devices, you're getting pretty close to that, right?
We're getting close. It's if they also moved your applications off the computer, right?
That's the last part. Yeah.
That's the last part. And I remember back at when I was at Hewlett Packard, the labs we're talking about is that an individually owned and managed computer is going to be a thing of the past. Now, they were predicting this 25 years ago, but it hasn't happened yet. But the idea is that you would have some way to identify yourself to the computer that's in the presentation room. You would not walk in with your laptop and try to figure out how to connect it. That there would be a computer in the room with the projector and monitors at everybody's station, and you'd sit down and your interface would come up, your file system, your documents, and if it was your turn to present, you'd swipe it up to the presenter.
That's the way it was in 1970. Isn't it funny how it goes full circle?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was mainframes, and
you had a terminal.
Account.
They called it a terminal.
Yeah.
Right? You had a screen and a keyboard. But the difference is then it was all hardwired to something in the building.
Right.
Whereas now we're getting to the point where the, you know, wireless communication is getting to a level where it's comparable to what it used to require wired to be. So, it is kind of a funny full circle to a degree.
Yeah, I miss some of the old games on those mainframes, though. It was a different time.
If you had one of those desks where your monitor didn't face any open area, you could be looking like you're working hard, but you're...
Well, nobody knew what I was doing on the mainframe anyway. So exactly. It wasn't pictures. It wasn't a monitor. It was a piece of paper printing up. So it was a very different interface. That could be a subject for a whole nother episode or at a meeting with some beer. Reminiscing about the old days of computers and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So for the millennials in the crowd, it's like we'll spare you the old stories. But hey, you know, I'm getting better. I'm recovering from my hard drive issues. Things are looking good. It's actually raining today, so I get to spend all day catching up on all the email and everything, all the other tasks I need to get done. So all is good. So
I'm going to go get you. I'm sure there's a Hallmark card that says, sorry about your hard drive.
Yeah. I appreciate that. You could email it over. My email's working again.
Okay. All right. Great.
That'd be great. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, we touched on a couple of things. I like your idea, Adam, is that some organizations now are competing on the service side of it. So I'm curious of how widespread that is. So let's ask our listeners, you know, if you've run into this where you've gotten just absolutely brilliant customer service for an issue, you know, let us know. Let's see what kind of tallies and stories we got here. And that might be a subject for a whole nother episode, is of how that plays into the reliability equation of your products and services. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR, and we'd love to hear from you. Please join the conversation. So with that, Adam, I'm going to go back up everything just because I've been talking about it. I don't want to jinx myself.
You have 22 backups.
That's right. I'm going to get another one. So cool. All right. Thanks, Adam.
All right. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.